You're listening to an Insight Encore episode on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Vijay Iyer is a talented jazz pianist, bandleader, and composer. He's recorded more than 20 albums of original music, and in 2013, he won a MacArthur Genius Grant. CAP Radio's jazz music director Gary Vercelli talked with Vijay Iyer in May of 2019, asking him how he balances so much in his life.
I think of it more as a sort of sustained imbalance, or maybe a kind of like dynamic equilibrium rather than a static one. I still am carrying a full load and doing all the things that a professor is supposed to do. But, you know, the fact is that most academics at these research institutions are doing their own thing in addition to teaching. And that usually involves some kind of research project of their own. They might give talks and they might publish articles and books and so on. So, you know, being an artist in academia is still a bit of a tough nut to crack, to figure out how to function as an artist in a space that isn't really made for or concerned with the value system of art making, you know, of vulnerability and of community and these kinds of things, you know. It's kind of like a spiritual whiplash that you get. I mean, there's like the physical fact of getting my body from one place to another, but it's more just the emotional challenge of inhabiting very different roles from day to day or hour to hour.
Growing up, you played violin from age 3. How did you transition to piano, and how did that become your voice?
Well, the piano was something I did in the cracks between everything else. It was basically playing by ear, and it wasn't my official thing that I was doing. I wasn't taking lessons on piano. So the piano was this kind of, I don't want to say forbidden zone, but just something that wasn't mine that I was kind of imposing myself on, but also something that was unguided and just sort of exploratory. It was more like play. When I was in high school, my high school had a jazz ensemble, and that led me to start exploring records out of the library. So I found Keith Jarrett and Red Garland, Herbie Hancock, basically all these people who played with Miles Davis. And then I found recordings of Thelonious Monk. It was so mysterious to me. It didn't feel like any of this other stuff. I couldn't resolve it or reconcile it in terms of what I thought this music was, you know. Because of that, because of maybe who I am as a sort of hard-headed, eccentric, I don't know what I was as a high school kid, but I found myself gravitating towards this thing that I couldn't understand. And there was something about his music and his playing, the music of Thelonious Monk, that really hit me. It like kind of felt like a world I could inhabit.
We're talking with Vijay Iyer, and I'm Gary Vercelli. Although you were attracted to African-American musical expression in your formative years, and you're still certainly considered a great jazz musician, have you connected to your Indian heritage through your art?
It's been an ongoing interest of mine since the 90s, I'd say. And when my first album came out in 1995, I was already actively exploring and engaging with these different rhythmic traditions from South Asia, from West and Central and East Africa, and from African diaspora in the Caribbean and in the Americas, and finding points of contact between those different systems. And of course, I should also say that like one of the towering figures of the music that's called jazz is John Coltrane, and then his partner, Alice Coltrane. And both of them sort of set the standard for what it means for jazz, or that kind of strain of creative music, to be in dialogue with music from India. The music of both John and Alice Coltrane has been a towering influence on me. It's oriented my own pursuits artistically. And the agenda was not to kind of demonstrate a fusion or a sort of like a mixing of styles or something like that. The agenda was something higher, communing with something ancient and with universal questions, and just thinking about what it means to be a human being. And then the other side of it that I would also say was important to me is that Coltrane was very conscious of the civil rights movement. He fashioned some of his music after the very specific speeches by Dr. Martin Luther King, who in turn fashioned his techniques of activism after those of Mahatma Gandhi, featured in the independence struggle for India against the British Raj. So there's this kind of like historical connection between these anti-colonial revolutionary movements and the civil rights struggle here. So that is also very important for me, that backdrop and the sort of significance that's beyond kind of like just flavor, you know?
You have a penchant and an attraction toward what's been called the avant-garde. And yet, on some of your recordings, there seems to be a penchant for finding a groove. And as a radio programmer, I find those particular tunes more accessible. Can you talk about why you have recorded like Michael Jackson or Mystic Brew or Break Stuff, and how it differs from what you will be presenting with your sextet?
Basically, these categories are false to begin with. You know, the avant-garde, I don't know what that means in 2019. Does it mean playing like Cecil Taylor did in 1959? Because that's not new, you know, it's not. Or the way Ornette Coleman played in 58, 57, or the way Coltrane played in 67, you know. None of that is new at this point. But it all came from the same place, like the same community, the same people, even. So I've always found these distinctions, they don't seem to hold up in reality. You know, like, let's talk about Billie Holiday for a second. Like, what do you call strange fruit? In relation to the rest of her body of work, it's an art piece that is meant to carry you somewhere new, you know? I mean, she could also sort of shout the blues with the best of them. And she sang with Lester Young, she sang standards, songs by Cole Porter, but then she made that, you know? And that was like, let's call that avant-garde, you know, because it was really shocking. And then it sold a million copies, which just means that a bunch of people decided that they wanted a recording of Billie Holiday singing about lynching in their homes to listen to over and over, you know? So that's new, like that's shocking, and that is, I don't know what else to call it except avant-garde in the sense that it's ahead of anything else that had happened at that point.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
What is a common thread? We've talked about a lot of different kinds of music and different cultural elements. Is there a common thread that runs across all cultures in musical expression?
The common thread, I think, is something I would call musicality, which is not just music itself, and it's not about style. It's about how we call each other, how we reach out to each other, and how we hear each other. How we respond. What is it in the music that speaks to you? It's not just something you can point to and say, oh, it's that rhythm, or these notes, or these lyrics. It's something that grabs you before you even know what's happening. And then you find yourself involved in it. That's what it really feels like when something really hits you. And you know this, and everyone who's listening to me knows this. And that's the real truth of what it is that we're doing, you know, and that's something that is universal. And it's basically, to me, it's the sound of listening.
You were listening to jazz pianist, bandleader, and composer Vijay Iyer talking with Cap Radio's Gary Vercelli. You can find longer versions of today's Encore Conversations at capradio.org/insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. We had help from Helen Barrington, Antonio Munez, and Paul Conley. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.